And it is now my great pleasure to introduce Bobby from Chico, California.
Hi, I'm Barbie. I am a compulsive overeater food addict. I want to thank the committee for asking me to share today. It's a great honor to be here and a great privilege that OA and my higher power have given me. I want to start by saying what OA is to me. OA is a safe place. It's someplace that I can come and be safe, regardless, no matter what. It's my salvation. It's recovery. It's fellowship. It's acceptance. And it's support. And that's what makes me feel very grateful for alcohol, for Overeaters Anonymous and for the 12 steps. Life without the 12 steps would be miserable. That I'm sure of. The disease of food addiction has no boundaries, none whatsoever, but neither does the program of Overeaters Anonymous. If you are over 400 pounds or under 75 pounds, it doesn't matter. Overeaters Anonymous can help you, and we can embrace you. We all have the same disease, no matter what. Compulsive food behaviors haunt many, many people. And I believe everybody that's sitting in this wonderful, these wonderful windows is are suffering from compulsive food behaviors. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your political persuasion is, your sexual persuasion, religious, nothing. Nothing matters. You can live in a palace or under the bridge. You are welcome here. We are all one. And the different factions of Overeaters Anonymous, the very strict food plans, right down to just eating what works best for each individual. We're all here. We're all recovering in our own way. My program, I work the Overeaters Anonymous program, but my food plan is my food plan. And your food plan is your food plan. And I don't really care what your food plan is. If you say you're abstinent, you are here and you are abstinent. It just doesn't matter. What matters is that we are here because we were suffering. We were suffering from a seamlessly hopeless malady. We can't stop our compulsive food behaviors on our own. I needed OA, the 12 steps, the tools of fellowship, and a God of my understanding to be relieved from my compulsion and my obsession to eat compulsively. When I was a little child, I remember crawling under the chair in the living room that one of the women that was there playing bridge with my mother had left their purse. And I got in that purse and got some pennies out so that I could go to Jerry Brown's Market and buy sweet stuff. When I was 10 years old, I was caught trying to steal sweet stuff from Jerry Brown's Corner Market. That was a humiliating experience. All the other kids from school were in there. Not all of them, but there were a lot of kids in there. I was humiliated. I never stole another thing, except maybe for food from somebody else's plate later, you know, or food from somebody else's refrigerator. But I didn't. That was something I remember so distinctly. When I was a teenager, I had a boyfriend, and he decided I should be thinner. So he said, if you will lose X number of pounds and get down to 116, I'll take you out to dinner. Bribe me with food every time. I will do it. So you know how that pattern goes. I lost it. We went to dinner. I put it all back. Not in that one meal, but nonetheless. In the late 80s, my husband and I, my then husband and I, went on one of these diets where you buy your food, or they send you your food, whatever they do now. I'm not sure, but what they did in those days. You know, and we got these prepared foods, and we both got very thin, very, very svelte. I was wearing a size 6 dress and just looking, hips looking cool. And the only problem with that was that my husband thought I was hip looking slick. Anyway, he liked it too. But he also thought the heavy girl at work was very attractive, more attractive than me. So that was the end of that. And that marriage ended. I was devastated. I was scared. I was so scared that I was going to put all this weight back on that I became obsessed with not gaining weight. And that's the other side of my disease. That's the other side of my disease. As time went, I did that for a while. And there was one point where I had been on a, skiing all day with one guy, and I was coming home because there was a dance that night with somebody else. And I remember thinking, as I was driving home from Tahoe, I was thinking, being fat was easier. So I stopped trying. In 1997, I had gotten sober a couple years before that. That's just a side mention. I can't talk. Sorry. A side mention of that. But in September of 1997, I met a gentleman, just a sweet, wonderful man, at a Joe and Charlie's Big Book seminar in Sacramento. I was living in Elk Grove. He lived in Paradise, and we got to know each other. We became friends, and 6 months later, I thought friendship should move on along a little bit, so I kissed him. So I was the first aggressor, and as time went on, that developed into a lovely relationship. Still is, by the way. And In 1998, I was going to one of these places where you weigh in once a week. And I did the weigh-in, go out to eat afterwards, eat anything I wanted afterwards, and then back on the diet. And it pretty soon the afterwards became the next day and the next day. And the weigh-in was on Wednesday, so I may as well eat through the weekend. And I went in June of 1998. I sat down after we weighed in, and she says, "Barbara, I don't understand why you're not losing weight." And I said, "I do. I understand why I'm not losing weight. I'm not working this program." And I got up and I walked out. I knew there was a OA meeting in one of the rooms at the local church, and I went. I went to that meeting almost directly from my weigh-in. And it was a Big Book seminar, Big Book study, and they were reading more about alcoholism, page 33, I believe. And as they read that, changing the words alcohol to food and alcoholic to compulsive overeater. As they read that, I was touched. I was so moved. I sat there and cried. I knew what my answer was. I knew where I belonged, where I needed to be. And I started going to meetings. I was in Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento area, so I was able to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. As I had done with my other addiction. And that 90 meetings in 90 days it was tough. I had to drive all over Sacramento area and Rancho Cordova, whatever. But I did it because I was willing to go to any length to get and be abstinent. And I got abstinent. And I was at my goal weight about 9 months later. And my future husband, Tony, his name's Tony, by the way. Tony had asked me to marry him. And I was scared to death. I had done that twice already, and I didn't do very well. And so I was really nervous. But we went to Hawaii on a trip, and he decided he wanted one of those things that we, you know, sweet thing you lick as you go along, and kind of cold. And they didn't have it. There's this place in Hawaii called Lempers, but they don't have any sugar-free flavors. So my disease said, excuse me, one won't hurt. One won't hurt. I had the one. I couldn't wait to get back to have another one. I was trying to figure out how I could sneak back and get another one without him knowing it. In the morning when I went to get his sweets and my abstinent breakfast, I came back with all sweets. And I said, those are yours. These are mine. Leave mine alone. He didn't criticize. He didn't say anything. But, you know, and I was off and running. As time went on, I gave my abstinence away a few more times over the next 5 years. We were scheduled to get married February 10th. We were supposed to get married. And it snowed. We had a big snowstorm in Paradise. And my husband, Tony, was concerned about his kids, his daughters, driving up, particularly Kristen, driving up in the snow. So we moved the wedding from February 10th to March 4th. And I have this vivid memory of standing in the kitchen on the phone talking to my son, who's telling me, Mom, we have plans for that weekend. We can't come down from Washington State. We can't be there. We have plans. And I've got tears running down my face, and I look over, and over by the refrigerator is Tony, and he's got the tub out, getting me a big bowl of something to soothe my emotions, something to make me feel better, trying to fix how I feel. And I was off and running again. And in that month, I had to have the skirt on my wedding outfit let out. It took a while to get abstinent again. Every time it has taken a little while to get abstinent again. It's much easier to stay abstinent. If you're abstinent and never picked up, don't, because it hurts. It's hard to get back. It's very hard to get back. One of the things I learned is that if I ask God for the willingness to be willing to be abstinent, he strikes me abstinent. I get abstinent. And it just seems like it's magic. My abstinence from sugar date is November 8th, 2005. And I have been abstinent from sugar since that day. And that is in spite of many life events. In 2010, my husband was diagnosed with dementia. And he struggled with memory and such. In 2012, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And we were devastated. And we went home, and we wrapped each other in the arms, and we just held each other and cried. But I didn't pick up. My little toy poodle died. Died in my arms after we'd been gone for a weekend. I couldn't believe it, but I didn't pick up. I had to place Tony in a facility in September 2017. I just couldn't take care of him at home. And I went home, I stood in my shower, I bawled, I cried, I sweared. I wanted to go back and get him with every fiber in my being, but I didn't pick up. November 8th, which happens to be my abstinence birthday, November 8th, 2018, the campfire happened. I lost my house. I lost my support group. I lost my sponsees all moved away, or most of them all moved away. Everything was gone. But I didn't pick up. What I did pick up was the Chico Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. And it was such a beautiful gift from the campfire, because it's such a strong, devoted, plugged-in fellowship. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful fellowship. I am so blessed to be there. And each day, every day, I pray. I say my prayers. I spend time talking to God, and I spend time listening to God. And I ask him every day. I turn my will, my life, and my food over to the care of my higher power every day. I log my food in every day. And I try to do the program every day as God guides me. Hopefully, one of the problems I have is my pause button for my mouth is kind of broken or slow. But that's another story altogether. But AA states that the door of willingness, once opened, ever so slightly, we can open it more anytime we want. And though self-will slams it shut, it will always respond to the moment we pick up the key of willingness. And so that's what I need to remember to do, is pick up the key of willingness. And I'm going to wrap up with a reading. Actually, it's a reading. This says it's a reading from Overeaters Anonymous, page 83, but that's the first edition. It's actually on page, it's the first page of step 10. Thank you. This is, if we are to experience permanent recovery from compulsive eating, we will have to repeat day after day the actions that have already brought us so much healing. And that's what we need to do today. That's what I need to do today. Thank you very much.